Hello to everyone out there again. This is Brother Mike Sutherland coming to you from Hilltop Baptist Church in Newport. We are starting our fifth series or fifth sermon in our series on that we have entitled The Curse and Wickedness of Islam. Last week I closed out and I was talking about the concept of jihad within the religion of Islam. Let me tell you this about Islam. Islam is hate, violence, and warmongering. It is their intent to destroy anybody that does not believe like them. We can truly say that Islam is making a huge difference in the world. One dead body at a time. Let me repeat that. We can truly say that Islam is making a huge difference in the world today. One dead body at a time. Make no mistake about it. They have no compunction whatsoever to kill you. They are more than glad for you to die for your religion. And they're also more than glad for you to die if you don't believe like they believe. They are a religion of violence. We have American political and religious leaders saying that Islam is peace, and nothing could be further from the truth. They are waging all-out war upon America and Western civilization. If you don't believe it, take a look at around you. And if you don't believe it, I believe that you are suffering from the ultimate form of deception. It comes from the highest levels of our government. It comes from our pulpits. And we are under an attack from this vile religion known as Islam. Last week I closed out and I was talking about that concept of jihad. And of course the word jihad means war. And it involves eight different facets for the Islamics. And I read those off to you last week before I closed out. And I want to start out by talking a little bit more about them here today. There is a jihad of words. A jihad of words. Muhammad was a brilliant orator. It's documented in some of the readings of the Hadith. And in the Arab culture, they like to sit around and debate over words and speeches and stuff. It's typically when they're debating, they're using cursing and just about every form of vile stuff that's going on. Now this war of words, which Muslim leaders today, such as, let's talk about some of the dead ones. Qaddafi, who was in Libya, Saddam Hussein, and Yasser Arafat, were constantly involved in this war of words where they were attempting to deceive those around them. And it's that way today with all of the Islamic leaders. You take, for instance, Mahmoud Abbas, who is the head of the terrorist organization called Fatah, which is the group that is in control, supposedly, of Palestinians. And by the way, let me say this about the so-called Palestinians. They never existed as a people, and there never has been a Bible land called Palestine, and won't be until end times prophecy starts to be fulfilled. More on that a little bit later. Okay, we also have a jihad of deceptions. When Muslims are in the minority, they lie about what they actually believe to protect Islam. They compromise in order to deceive. And another name for that is called taqiyya, spelled T-A-Q-I-Y-Y-A, taqiyya. It is the Muslim doctrine of deception. It is designed to mislead you. And then there's also the jihad of sword, and this is the one that makes most people fearful. This involving using weapons of warfare and terror to spread Islam. And this gives the lie to the politicians that say that Islam is peace. Nothing could be further from the truth. There's also a jihad of taxation and financial reward. Those who refuse to submit to Islam are forced to pay a special tax for non-Muslims called the jizya. Those who convert to Islam are often offered financial rewards or scholarships. Then there's the jihad of slavery. Those Muslims who engage in jihad not only can seize property, extort ransoms, and demand taxes, but they also capture slaves. Let me tell you this. The only places in the world today where slavery is still practiced is in some Muslim countries. Okay, now, I have discussed this particular one in an earlier sermon dealing with this particular subject. There is a jihad of the Sharia law. Non-Muslims are degraded to a lower class status and are denied equal access to the law because their testimony is not valid against a Muslim. By the way, this even applies to murder. No Muslim can be killed or executed for killing an infidel or an unbeliever. The death penalty is applied to anyone who announces Islam and converts to another religion. That's one of the tenets of Sharia law that comes under the heading of apostasy. Okay, then we have the jihad of polygamy. Listen at this now. The devastating defeat of the Muslim forces by the Meccans in the Battle of Uhud in AD 625 led to what could be considered one of Islam's greatest victories. So many of his men were killed that Muhammad permitted his men to take up to four wives. And behold, lo and behold, you know why that came about? It came about because of a new revelation that Muhammad received that allowed Islamic men to have up to four wives. How convenient. How convenient. I guess necessity is the mother of invention. And that's what the Quran is. It's a man's invention. By the way, and it come straight out of Satan's mind into the devil-possessed mind of Muhammad. And there's also a jihad of spirits. According to the Quran, Muslims are not only men and women, but also spirits who fight for the spread of Islam. Also, a Muslim is to fight on Muhammad's behalf, both in this life and after his death. You know what that sounds to me like? It doesn't sound to me like even Allah is the God of the Quran. It sounds to me like Muhammad is the God of the Quran. He is another false god. He is the one that seeks the worship. Okay, now, I want to tell you this once again. Jihad is just another tool of the devil used to spread Islam and to send lost sinners to an eternity in hell. There are 123 verses in the Quran about fighting and killing for Allah, this great religion of peace. This great religion of peace. Have you heard that until you're sick of it? This gives the lie to the statement that jihad is not a violent part of the Islamic religion. Once again, 123 verses promote fighting and jihad within the Quran. We've been told the lie time and time again that Islam is a religion of peace. But I want to say it again, but nothing could be further from the truth. Our spineless politicians in the Republican and Democratic parties have sold us out by pandering to a religious political system known as Islam. Let me say that again. Our spineless politicians in the Republican and Democratic parties have sold us out by pandering to a religious political system known as Islam. Many of our politicians have sold their soul and the American birthright to the devil of Islam for a bowl of porridge filled with a few votes of the devil's children. Many of our distinguished and deceived religious and political leaders have stated that the God of Christianity and Judaism is the God of Islam. Nothing could be further from the truth. The God of Islam does not have a son. The God of Christianity and Judaism loves Israel. The God of Islam hates Jews and Christians. the God of Islam and the God of Roman Catholicism converts with the sword. The God of the Bible converts with the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. The God of Islam is the reincarnation of the Old Testament Baal. Islam is hell-bent on the destruction of Israel, America, Jews, and Christians, and by the way, anybody that's not like them. Islam was founded by that devil-possessed sexual pervert and child molester known as Muhammad. Muhammad's methods of evangelism were taught to him by Roman Catholicism. Convert or die. Convert or die. That's what the Crusades were all about. Two pagan religions fighting one another and who had common enemies. And their common enemies were Jews and Bible-believing Christians. The Muslims will tell you the lie that it was the Christians that started the Crusades. And that is a lie. Nothing's further from the truth. The Crusades were kicked off because the Islamic Turks massacred 3,000 Christians in the city of Jerusalem during the month of November of the year 1065. And I want to tell you this too. The Crusaders were not Bible-believing Christians, but were instead Roman Catholics. During the Crusades, millions of Christians and Jews died at the edge of the Roman Catholic sword. The founder of Islam is that old dragon and serpent Satan. The founder of Catholicism is that old dragon and serpent Satan. It is time that Bible-believing Christian leaders stood up and rebuked our wicked and deceived political leaders, just as Nathan, Micaiah, Elijah, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Ezekiel, and John the Baptist did. It's time for you men out there that claim that you're Christians, that claim that you have been called of God, to stand up. The Bible says that we to quit ye like men. In other words, stand up for the God of the Bible. If you stand up for which that you claim to believe in. Islam is the most anti-God and violent religion that has ever been conceived in the mind of man. It came slithering forth out of the venomous pit of Satan's vile mind into the devil-possessed mind of Muhammad. Islam is of the devil. It is no surprise at all that Islam would use the fear of beheading people to force people to convert to their religion. That will be the preferred method of execution during the tribulation talked about in the book of Revelation. The Lord Jesus Christ himself also prophesied that those events would take place. In John 16, verses 1 through 3, the Lord Jesus Christ said this, "These things have I spoken unto you, that ye should not be offended. They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God a service. And these things will they do unto you, because they have not known the Father nor me." Look at that. "They shall put you out of the synagogues. Yea, the time cometh that whosoever killeth you will think that he doeth God service." These Muslim terrorists that routinely kill people are doing it in the name of their God. They're doing it to reap an eternal benefit. They are promised an eternity in paradise if they kill somebody in an act of jihad. Or jihad is that Islamic word that is used for war. Now this scripture that I just read in John chapter 16 is a prophecy by the Lord Jesus Christ of the coming persecution and murders that his children were to suffer at the hands of unbelievers. The book of Revelation also speaks to a time when Jews and Christians will be persecuted and beheaded. The Antichrist's preferred mode of death during the tribulation will be beheading. Go and look at Revelation chapter 20, verse 4, and read it. "There is no government on the face of this earth that practices beheading other than those in the Islamic countries. Beheading is the Islamic preferred method of execution for infidels. And if you don't believe like they are, you are an infidel to them. And when they behead you, they will think that they do God a favor. They're doing it in the name of Allah, their false god. For that reason, there is no way that you will ever convince us that Islam is not part and parcel with Roman Catholicism in the heart, in the harlot, excuse me, of the book of Revelation in chapter 17. A favorite terror tool of false religion and apostate Christianity is the threat of beheading. Beheading has been practiced both by the Roman Catholic and the Anglican churches. It was a favorite atrocity of the French Roman Catholics when they were in control of the French government. Persecution, imprisonment, torture, violence, and jihad are the normal religious practices of everyday Islam everywhere that they have the upper hand. The Roman Catholic equivalent of jihad is the Inquisition and the Crusades. In the end, their objective was both the same: the killing of Bible-believing Christians and Jews. The Muslims are taught from birth to hate and kill everyone that is not like them, especially Jews and Christians. That is why you see so many suicide bombers in the Middle East, many of them children. What a man is it that would send his own child, or what a mother is it that would send their own child loaded up with bombs to blow up innocent Jewish women and children? What kind of animal would do that? One that is possessed of the devil. They're under the control of Satan. That's how they can do it. That is also why the Muslim mind cannot understand what true peace means, because they're always either in war, this concept of jihad, or preparing for the next war. They have no conscience. They have been so indoctrinated into murder, mayhem, and violence from the time that they are children, from the time that they are to the point where they can start talking, they are indoctrinated into hate and violence. There's no way that you can reason with them outside of them being regenerated by the Lord Jesus Christ, that they might have the mind of Christ, so that you might be able to reason through the mind of Christ. Muhammad himself, the bloodthirsty prophet of Islam, once stated that the purest joy in Islam is to kill and be killed for Allah. Let me ask you once again, does Islam mean peace? If you think so, after having listened to much of what I've had to say here, you are deceived. Now, claiming to utter the very words of Allah, Muhammad commanded that all those who oppose the message of the Quran should either be killed or crucified, or have a hand and a leg cut off, or be driven out of the land. Let me quote you something from the Quran, out of Surah 5, verse 36. It says this: the punishment of those who wage war against Allah and His apostle and strive with might and main for mischief through the land is execution or crucifixion or the cutting off of hands and feet from opposite sides, or exile from the land. That is their disgrace in this world, and a heavy punishment is theirs in the hereafter. That is straight out of the Quran. Now, in Surah 47, verse 4, Muslims are commanded by Allah to smite the necks, in other words, beheading, of all those who do not accept the teaching of Islam until they are thoroughly subdued. And according to verse 7, they should be helping Allah by doing so. Others could be arrested and released only after paying a ransom. That's in Surah, also contained within the Surahs of the Quran. In Surah 2, verses 190 and 191, and in several others, they command true Muslims to fight those who oppose them or do not believe in the message of Islam. So when you fight in the fight of jihad, those who disbelieve, smite at their necks till when you have killed and wounded many of them. Then bind a bond firmly on them. So this doctrine of violence and to promote the religion, not just violence, but murder, torture, mayhem, is promoted throughout the Quran. And also, another thing that you need to know is that the Quran states that jihad is not just a religious duty, but it is commerce. In other words, it is nothing more than a business. One of the big ways that Muhammad got started was by robbing caravans and killing innocents there. And he just turned it into a religion, is what he done. I want to go back to this whole idea here too, and I've emphasized this time and time again. Jihad is not extreme Islam, but is instead normal Islam. Peace in Islam is deception. Peace is merely a time for preparing for the next war. Any peace treaty signed with a Muslim is not worth the paper it is written on. It is at best a ceasefire. For the Muslim, a treaty is but a tactic in continuing warfare. This tactic came to them via Muhammad through the so-called Treaty of Hudaybiyah. Hudaybiyah, spelled H-U-D-A-B-I-Y-A. If you do a little bit of research on the internet, you'll find some information on that. This treaty was, in effect, a 10-year ceasefire called a hudna. And that's something that's enshrined in Islamic doctrine now, is this idea of a hudna, H-U-D-N-A. It is a device used to stave off total defeat so that they may save themselves to renew the fight when they recover. Now, Dave Hunt, in his book, Judgment Day, which is a book I recommend that you read, had this to say about this particular form of deception, the hudna. The Meccans were still too strong for Muhammad and turned him away. Anxious to make peace, however, with this powerful and violent enemy, they entered into one of the most important agreements in Islamic history, the Treaty of Hudaybiyah, a 10-year ceasefire called a hudna. That document established Islam's law of war and peace and set the precedent for future Islamic policy that remains to this day. No Muslim leader has the authority to go over Muhammad's head to make genuine peace with non-Muslims. Only a hudna can be entered into, and that for no longer than 10 years. The purpose, following Muhammad's example, is not to achieve a sincere end to hostilities, but to deceive the enemy with a promise of peace in order to gain time and advantage to eventually conquer the unsuspecting peace partner. This was always Arafat's intent, since his death continues to be the PLO's purpose in the so-called peace process with Israel. This is the type of deception that they're using in the Middle East. They do not desire a peace with the nation of Israel. The so-called roadmap to peace in the Middle East is a roadmap to hell. It is a tool that is intended to promote the destruction of the nation of Israel. And by the way, that is a peace process that the United States has been deeply involved in. So we come back to this whole idea again. Many times we hear the expression that Islam is peace. And I'll say this again, and I've said it over and over again. I want to pound this idea home. Nothing could be further from the truth. Islam is not peace. Islam is war. Let me read you what a guy named Moshe had to say. Islam was a secular concept denoting a sublime virtue in the eyes of the primitive Arab. Defiance of death, heroism to die in battle. The term denoted bravery in battle. It did not mean peace or submission. You also hear that Islam means submission, and it does mean submission to Allah and to their ungodly dictates. Moshe also had this to say. Here, the reason for killing Christians and Jews is clear. if they do not embrace Islam. This is contrary to what some modern Muslim revisionists claim, and we hear that constantly here in America. Jihad against Christians was not defensive, but was offensive. And I need to emphasize that. It is offensive. It is a tool of the devil to destroy Christians. You can trust a Muslim to be a Muslim. Muhammad said, fight against those who believe not in Allah and those who acknowledge not the religion of truth. In other words, he's talking about Islam. Among the people of the scripture, talking about Jews and Christians there, until they pay that zakat. And remember that zakat was that money that they collected from folks. Allah commands that any person who leaves Islam or encourages others to do so should be seized and slain. That is the main reason why Muslims are very much afraid of being converted to Christianity. We can document instance after instance of atrocities being committed by Muslims in the name of Islam. However, these instances must not, I emphasize this, must not be taken as extremism. It's normal to Islam for that to happen. Violence, intimidation, and forced conversion are normal to Islam. And I've already told you this. Over the last 1,400 years, they have murdered at least 270 million non-believers. Going to war has never been a New Testament method of evangelism for Bible-believing Christians. Our weapons of war are spiritual. Yet Muslims are commanded by the Quran to spread religion by war and violence. Many Muslims will claim that no one is forced to go into Islam. When they're doing this, they will refer to a surah that I quoted earlier where it said that there's no compulsion in religion. The problem with that assertion by the Muslims is that it is one of the teachings that have been abrogated. And I referred to you, that's one of the concepts of Sharia law. Now, the word jihad means holy war. The word jihad occurs at least 72 times in the Hadith. And there is an entire chapter of 75 verses in the Quran that is devoted to the spoils of war and booty. Again, many Muslims will point to the Crusades to justify their continued violence against Christians. However, the Crusades were not the product of Bible-believing Christianity. The Crusades were the product of the unscriptural union between the Roman Catholic harlot and her regal lapdogs, the kings and emperors of Western Europe. Roman Catholicism is not Bible-believing Christianity. We have already stated that it was the Islamic atrocities that kicked off the Crusades. I want you to know and understand that it was the Islamics that kicked off the Crusades by a massacre in the city of Jerusalem where they killed 3,000 Christians. Next week I will be getting into other items to talk about how the Quran itself compares to the scriptural teaching within the King James Bible. I'm going to show you some things where they do not at all line up with Bible-believing Christianity. Islam is the God of Islam is not the God of the Bible. Thank you again for joining us here today with this series on the curse and wickedness of Islam. We invite you to come back and listen in for several more sermons in this on this particular topic. Thank you again for joining us, and may God bless you.